بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وخير الأمور عوازمها، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبالسند المتصل منا إلى عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله تعالى عنه وعنهم قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: الراحمون يرحمهم الرحمن تبارك وتعالى، ارحموا من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء. رواه أبو داود والترمذي. وبالسند المتصل منا إلى أمير المؤمنين في أحاديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أبي عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل البخاري رحمه الله تعالى، وحشرنا في زمرته ومحبيه يوم القيامة، قال: باب قول الله: ونضع الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة، وأن أعمال بني آدم وقولهم يوزن. وقال مجاهد: القسطاس العدل بالرومية، ويقال القسط مصدر المقسط وهو العادل، وأما القاسط فهو الجائر. وبه قال: حدثنا أحمد بن أشكاب قال: حدثنا محمد بن فضيل عن أمارة بن القعقاع عن أبي زرعة عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه وعنهم قال: قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: كلمتان حبيبتان إلى الرحمن، خفيفتان على اللسان، ثقيلتان في الميزان، سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. This is the last hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari. Which Amir al-Mu'minin fi al-Hadith, Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala, narrates from one of his many shuyukh, many teachers, Ahmad ibn Ashqab. Ahmad ibn Ashqab is Yemeni. And the origin of Ansar is also Yemen. The Aus and Khazraj, who later accepted Islam upon the hands of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and earned the title of Al-Ansar. migrated from Yemen and settled in Medina Munawwara. So the origin of Ansar is Yemen, and Ahmad ibn Ashkab is also Yemeni. He's Hadrami. He's from Hadramaut. And Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala narrates the very first hadith from another of his shuyukh, Imam Humaydi rahimahullah ta'ala, who is Makki. So Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala narrates the first hadith from Imam Humaydi rahimahullah ta'ala, who is Makki. And he narrates the last hadith from his Shaykh Ahmad ibn Ashkab, who is Yemeni, and the origin of Ansar is Yemen. And by narrating this hadith from Ahmad ibn Ashkab, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is making a reference to Medina Munawwara. So by narrating the first hadith from Imam Humaydi rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala makes a reference to Makkah Mukarramah. By narrating the last hadith from Imam Ahmad ibn Ashkab rahimahullah ta'ala, he makes a reference to Medina Munawwara. And he is making this point clear that wahy initiated in Makkah Mukarramah and it was completed in Makkah Medina Munawwara. These are the two centers of wahy. In the glorious Quran we find many surahs which are known as Makki and many surahs which are known as Madani. The Mufassirin have categorized the surahs and the verses as Makki and Madani. Humaydi is derived from the root word Hamd. And Ahmad is also derived from the root word Hamd. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi initiates his Bukhari with Hamd. And he completes Bukhari Sharif with Hamd. The very first hadith begins with Haddathana al-Humaydi. And the last hadith, Haddathana Ahmad. So the first hadith is initiated with Hamd and the last hadith, through the last hadith, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala completes the kitab with Hamd. And as a result, he is making reference to the verse of the glorious Quran, وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ فِي الْأُولَى وَالْآخِرَةِ. All praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world and also in the hereafter. At the beginning, all praises are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the end, all praises are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, in this way, is teaching us a lesson. And that lesson is that you should spend your life from the time you become baligh until you breathe your last with the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the hamd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another point that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is making through this style of beginning and ending is that from the beginning until the end, from the beginning until the end, every hadith, every sentence, every word is nothing but Mahmood, praiseworthy. Why? Because it is the word of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So every word is Mahmood. He begins the book with Haddathana al-Humaydi. And he ends the book with Haddathana Ahmad. And the reference that Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi is making is that everything from the beginning until the end in this book is nothing but Mahmud. Every word is Mahmud, every sentence is Mahmud, every paragraph is Mahmud, and every narrator is Mahmud. Every narrator in the chain of narration is Mahmud. Every hukm that is derived from the ahadith is also Mahmud. Every character derived from the hadith or learned from the hadith is also Mahmud. Every dhikr, every dua, every amal, every action, every word that you will read through is nothing but Mahmud. Mahmud is praiseworthy. Why? Because it is the kalam of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the kalam, the action of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is wahi. It is wahi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala monitors and supervises every action of each and every Nabi. Because he is sent as an example for the ummah. So he cannot make a mistake. So Allah supervises whatever he says. Allah supervises whatever he does. So whatever he does, whatever he says is nothing but Mahmud. It is always praiseworthy. The lesson that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala desires to convey to us is that if everything that is contained within this book is Mahmud, then anybody who will put his head down, strive, and learn and understand what is in this book and then implement it in his life will also become Mahmud in the eyes of the creator and also in the eyes of the creation. He will become praiseworthy in the eyes of the creator, he will become praiseworthy in the eyes of the creation, he will become praiseworthy in this world and he will become praiseworthy in the hereafter, inshallah. The first chain of the first hadith of Bukhari Sharif, the chain of the first hadith of Bukhari Sharif, hadith innama al-amalu binniyat, is ghareeb. And the last chain, or the chain of the last hadith, haddathana al-humaydi qala haddathana sufyan, that is also ghareeb. And this chain, haddathana Ahmad ibn Ashqab qala haddathana Muhammad ibn Fudayl, this is also ghareeb. This is a technical term which the talibat and the ulama are understanding. So the chain of the first hadith is ghareeb and the chain of the last hadith is ghareeb. What message is Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala conveying? Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala right at the beginning by narrating a hadith with a ghareeb chain. By narrating a hadith with a ghareeb chain, is giving a message to the students. Kun fi dunya ka annaka ghareeb. Stay in this world as if you are a ghareeb, as if you are a traveler. This is the message Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi is giving to the student, that stay in this world as if you are a ghareeb, as if you are a traveler. And by giving this message, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is encouraging the students to prepare for the life hereafter. And in order to prepare for the life hereafter, they will have to work hard. Because the method of preparing for the life hereafter is to understand the message of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to practice upon that message. So right at the beginning, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi by narrating a hadith with a ghareeb chain is inviting the students to ponder on this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kun fi dunya ka annaka ghareeb. And Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is saying to the students that remain in this world as if you are a traveler, because in reality you are a traveler. You are a traveler. Your ultimate and permanent abode is the hereafter, not this world. So remain here as a traveler preparing for the life hereafter. And if you have understood this message right at the beginning, Then work very hard. Be punctual in your class. Listen very attentively to what the teacher is saying. Record everything, not only for the sake of recording, not only for the sake of increasing your ilm. Record everything with the intention and resolution of practicing, and thereafter conveying the same to the ummah so that they can also practice and remain gharib in this world and become successful in the hereafter. And thereafter, when the book is being concluded, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala again concludes Bukhari Sharif with a hadith which has a gharib chain of narration. And Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is re-emphasizing the message that now for the whole year you have exerted effort and you have acquired ilm, and now you know how to live your life, and now you know how to please Allah, now you know how to make preparation for the life hereafter. Now you will have many attractions, distractions. So make sure you save yourself from all distractions, all attractions, and remember that you are gharib in this world, and you can only become successful in the permanent abode if you follow and practice whatever you have learned throughout the year. حدثنا أحمد بن أشقاب حدثنا محمد بن خضير. For ulama, I will say one more thing, that there is a hadith of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, بدأ الإسلام غريبا وسيعود غريبا بدأ الإسلام غريبا وسيعود غريبا فطوبى للغرباء. أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, بدا الإسلام غريبا وسيعود غريبا وسيعود كما بدا فطوبى للغرباء. أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, Islam in its initial stages was غريب, and then it flourished. In the initial stages in Makkah Mukarramah it was غريب. غريب is somebody who is unknown, who is seen as someone alien, stranger. And a traveler is known as gharib, because when he enters a new city, a new locality, a new town, a new village, people see him as a stranger. So gharib, the traveler is called gharib because he is stranger. And when something is strange or something is alien, people tend to stay away from it. People become protective, that stay away from, they keep their children away from such person as well. They will not let him enter their homes as well. He is gharib, he is a stranger, he is an alien. We don't know who he is, what is his background. So in the initial stages, whenever a Nabi came with the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with Islam, because every Nabi came with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which has always been Islam. So whenever a Nabi came with the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and those who followed that message was seen as gharib, stranger, strange. He is a stranger. And people would not feel inclined towards it. They would tend to stay away from it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after the period of tests and trials, granted barakah to the efforts of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sahabai kiram rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, and thereafter Islam flourished. In the sixth year of Hijrah, when our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided to travel from Medina Munawwara to Makkah Mukarramah to perform Umrah, which he was unable to perform due to the non-Muslims preventing him. In the sixth year of Hijrah, he reached Medina Munawwara, he reached Hudaybiyah, the outskirts of Makkah Mukarramah, with approximately 1300 to 1400 companions. 1300, 1400, 1500 companions. And thereafter, the treaty of Hudaybiyah was signed between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the non-Muslims of Makkah Mukarrama, and 2 years later, the liberation of Makkah Mukarrama came into existence. Liberation of Makkah Mukarrama took place. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveled from Medina Munawwara for Umrah, which resulted in the peace of Hudaybiyah, the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah, the Sulhul Hudaybiyah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was accompanied by over 1,000 people. 1,300, 1,400, 1,500, 1,500 people. And 2 years later, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveled from Madinah Munawwara to Makkah Mukarrama to liberate Makkah Mukarrama, he was accompanied by more than 10,000 people. So in the initial stages, Islam was gharib. Islam was strange. Islam was alien. People were not prepared to accept Islam or Muslim. They were pushed around. They were not entertained. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Islam's beginning is gharib. Then it will flourish. And before Qiyamah, a time will come when again Islam and the people of Haq will become gharib. People will not want to accept them. People will not want to accept the teachings of Islam and the followers of Islam. Anybody who will look at them will see them as a stranger. Stranger, stranger, alien. He is a Muslim. As soon as they will see imama, as soon as they will see the beard, the sunnah attire, dome, minaret, anything associated to Islam will become gharib. Gharib. And even amongst the various sects of Islam, those who will remain on the straight path, the true path, those who will follow the pristine purity of Islam, they will be in minority. So the other batil sects, they will increase in number, and the people of Haq will decrease slowly. Even the ulama-i Haq will become less in number, and ulama-i Su will increase. And ulama-i Su, they will increase, and when they will see the ulama-i Haq, they will see them with the view of gharib. Gharib, strange, they don't belong to us. They don't belong to us. Very strict in Islamic rulings. Extreme. No soft approach. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala initiates his Bukhari Sharif with a gharib chain, and he completes his Bukhari Sharif with a gharib chain, because those people study Bukhari Sharif in detail who are graduating as ulama or alimat. And this is the most important book. And the last lesson that is imparted is the lesson of Bukhari Sharif. So in any madrasa, when the last lesson of Bukhari Sharif is imparted, it means that the students have completed the whole syllabus, and this is the final part of the syllabus. So Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, right at the end, is giving this message to the students, that if you are on Haq and if you remain on Haq, you will be seen by people as gharib. You will be seen by people as a stranger. You will be seen by people as alien if you follow the Haq. That time is going to come. So now you are graduating and you are going to put your foot in the field of teaching, nurturing, conveying the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, inviting people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep this in mind. Keep this in mind that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that in the beginning Islam was gharib, and a time will come before Qiyamah when Islam will become gharib again. So those people who truly appreciate Islam and who follow the pristine, pure teachings of Islam will be seen by Muslims and non-Muslims as gharib. But do not worry. Remain steadfast, because fatuba lil ghurama. The fortunate people are those who belong to this group and who become gharib, who are seen by people as gharib. So my colleague, my beloved friend, respected teacher of Bukhari Sharif in this madrasa, Maulana Salim Sahib, Zadahu Allahu ilman wa sharafa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him many more years to see such happiness where he completes the Sahih al-Bukhari of Amirul Mu'minin fil Hadith, and it is accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He rightly said that we are passing through that time where the ulama's who are increasing. And we need to make sure that we save ourselves from belonging to that group of ulama-e-su and we remain in the group of ulama-e-haq. Very important message for Taliban, for Talibin-e-ilm, for ulama. Very important message. We are passing through that time when the ahl-e-haq are seen as ulama. They are seen as ghurama, strangers. So Ahmad ibn Ashqab, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he narrates from his Shaykh Muhammad ibn Fudayl, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Some people have questioned the integrity of Muhammad ibn Fudayl, rahimahullahu ta'ala. They have said that Muhammad ibn Fudayl is mubtadi'. He is someone who was a bid'ati, innovator. And the ahadith of an innovator is not reliable. So why did Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala, despite knowing that Muhammad ibn Fudayl is an innovator, is a mubtada', chose his hadith to be part of Bukhari Sharif? The answer is, we do not accept that Muhammad ibn Fudayl was a mubtada'. And what is the proof, what is the dalil? The dalil is Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala choosing his hadith to be part of Bukhari Sharif. Because Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, regarding him, Muhammad ibn Ishaq ibn Khuzaymah rahimahullah ta'ala says, ما تحت أديم السماء عالم بالحديث من محمد ابن إسماعيل. Muhammad ibn Ishaq ibn Khuzaymah rahimahullah ta'ala says that under the roof of the sky, there is no one more knowledgeable in the science of hadith than Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala, the great muhaddith, he says, أَشْهَدُ أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ فِي الدُّنْيَا مِثْلُ. I bear witness that in this world there is no one like you in the field of hadith. And Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala says, مَا أَخْرَجَتْ خُرَاسَانِ مِثْلَ مُحَمَّدٍ مِنْ إِسْمَعِيلِ. Khurasan has not given birth to someone like Muhammad ibn Ismail Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala in the field of hadith. So we say that we do not accept that Muhammad ibn Fudayl was mubtada', Muhammad ibn Fudayl was bid'ati, Muhammad ibn Fudayl was innovator, and the dalil and the proof is Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala choosing his hadith and including his hadith in Bukhari Sharif. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala commenting on Muhammad ibn Fudayl says, Saduqun, Saduqun. These are words which verify the integrity of the Ravi. A Saduq, he is nothing but truthful. And Imam Nasai rahimahullah ta'ala says, La ba'sa bihi. There is nothing wrong with him. There is nothing wrong
in taking his hadith, he is full of integrity. And Allama Zahabi rahimahullah ta'ala says, Sadiqun, Mashhurun, Sahibul Hadith. He is truthful, he is well known in the field of Hadith amongst the people, and he is a person of Hadith. He is an expert in the field of Hadith. Muhammad ibn Fudayl. Muhammad ibn Fudayl narrates from Umara ibn Qaqa. Umara ibn Qaqa narrates from Abu Zur'a. Abu Zur'a from Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is a muhajir. And Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu, the narrator of the very first hadith, is also muhajir. So hadith innama al-amalu bin-niyyat is narrated by Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu, and the last hadith is narrated by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Both are muhajir. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is giving another message. Right at the beginning, the message is that Umar radiyallahu anhu is a muhajir. Without migration, a person cannot acquire ilm. Without migration, a person cannot acquire ilm. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala migrated from Bukhara. And he traveled to each and every major city of the Islamic world of his time. And he visited 1,080 shuyukh. And he sat in the company of 1,080 shuyukh, and he acquired the ilm of hadith from 1,080 shuyukh. Hijrat. Makkah Mukarrama, Madina Munawwara, Basra, Kufa, Baghdad, Naisapur. Without hijrah, ilm cannot be acquired. Our students of Madini Madrasa, they were hijrah every day in the morning. Hijrah every day in the morning. Ilm does not come to you, you have to go to ilm. Hijrah. Sometimes the hijrah is short, only 15 minutes away. And sometimes hijrah is long, 1 hour. And sometimes hijrah is very long. You travel from here to Leicester, you travel from here to Berry, you travel from here to Dewsbury. And for long duration, you stay there for 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks. Sometimes the hijrah is all the way to Bangladesh, all the way to Pakistan, all the way to India. And you remain in that country for a duration of 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. Ibn Manda rahimahullah ta'ala, his hijrah was the longest. He left his home at the age of 20 and he returned when he was 65. 45 years hijrah. Without hijrah, ilm is not possible. Without hijrah. Hijrah is necessary. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man kharaja fi talabir ilm. One who leaves his home in search for knowledge. Kharaja. One who leaves. If a person desires to remain at home and acquire ilm without any type of hijrah, this person will not become successful. In this day and age, so many people are remaining within the confines of their homes and acquiring ilm through the means of internet. Only Allah knows, because the teacher is sitting in London and one student is in China, the other student is in Dubai, the third is in Pakistan, the fourth is in America. Only Allah knows who will vouch for the integrity of these students who are being given this ilm. Only Allah knows. It's possible that the teacher is sitting in London and he is giving a weapon to somebody who is going to damage Islam rather than serve Islam. Because we don't know who the person is. We don't know what his aqidah is. We don't know what his ideology is. We don't know how he is studying. Maybe he is having breakfast and listening to the dars of Bukhari at the same time. Maybe he is lying down in bed and relaxed, not even clothed properly, and he is listening to it. Maybe he is cleaning his teeth and listening to the lecture. Only Allah knows.
Hijra.
Hijra. Ilm should not come to you, you should go to ilm. Those people who remain within the confines of their homes, ilm comes to them. No, you go to ilm. You go to ilm. Leave your home. Hijra. Hijra is necessary. Hijra is necessary for ilm. And both hijra is necessary. Leaving the home is necessary. And leaving disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also necessary. Leaving your homes and going to the madrasa and leaving maasi and leaving layani. Both are necessary. Then a person will truly appreciate ilm and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enlighten his heart with the goal of ilm and he will become a beacon light for the whole ummah or for part of the ummah, inshallah. Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, when Harun Rashid came to Madina Munawwara, he sent a message to Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala. Amirul Mu'mineen Harun Rashid, he sent a message to Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala and he said, I have come to Madina Munawwara and it is my desire that I benefit from you. Can you allocate some time, come to my palace, come to my residence and teach me hadith? What did Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi do? He replied, he said, Ya Amirul Mu'mineen, al-ilmu yuta ilayhi, la yati. Ilm does not go to anybody. One has to go to ilm. If I come to you, to your residence, to teach you, that is ilm coming to you. You will not benefit. You come to the Masjid Nabvi where I am teaching everybody, you will be coming to ilm, you will show this respect and reverence for ilm, Allah will fill your heart with the noor of ilm, inshallah. When Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala returned from Naisapur to Bukhara, the governor of Bukhara during that time, he sent a message to Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala that, can you come to my home and teach my boys hadith? What did Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi say? What was his reply? أَنَا لَا أُذِلُّ الْعِلْمُ وَلَا أَحْمِلُهُ إِلَى بَابِ الْعُمَرَةِ. I will not disgrace ilm. I will not go carrying the ilm to the doors of the governors and the rich people. Anyone who desires ilm should come and learn from here. And this has been the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He did not go anywhere with ilm. Listen very carefully to what I am saying. He did go to invite people towards Islam. He did not go here and there to teach people. He went to Mina, he went to Muzdalifah, he went to Arafat. He went to this street and that street, this place and that place in Makkah Mukarrama to invite people to enter the fold of Islam. Once a person entered the fold of Islam, it became his responsibility to go in the company of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and learn ilm. He did not go walk around distributing ilm. Our brothers who leave their homes and go for da'wah and tabligh, they do not go to disseminate ilm. No. Da'wah and tabligh is to encourage people to come towards deen. That is fine. Da'wah means to say to people that please enter the fold of Islam. Or please follow the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once a person enters the fold of Islam or once a person resolves to follow the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is he who has to go
to the ulama and learn from them.
The Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi Majmain or our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not facilitate this. You will not find a single Sahabi who went door to door, house to house to facilitate people who wanted to acquire ilm. No. You will not find a single incident. You will always find students doing the hijrah, not the teacher. Teacher will remain in one place. This is the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the sunnah of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Yes. When the Muslims liberated various parts of the world, where there were no ulama, then the Sahaba migrated, they did hijrah, but as soon as they reached Kufa or Baghdad, in these new places, they did not go door to door, home to home to teach people, no. They made an announcement that every day between Maghrib and Isha, or every day in the morning 10 till 12, or every day during this time, this is the place where I will sit and people will come to me and benefit from me. This has been the culture of the Sahaba, of the Tabi'een, of all the Muhaddisin, of all the Mufassirin. So ilm requires hijrah. Ilm requires hijrah. Those parents who keep their children at home and expect the teacher to come to their home, I will urge them to compel your children to do hijrah for ilm. If you want your ilm, if you want your children to excel, compel them to do hijrah. Let them go to madrasa, let them go to the house of the teacher. And I very respectfully will say to my ulama brothers also, that inculcate in the hearts and the minds of the people ihtiram, reverence for ilm, and encourage them to send their children to either our homes or the madrasa or the masjid. As a result of our going to their homes, we are neither doing good to ourselves nor them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Yes, there are places, a locality, where you don't have a masjid, you don't have a madrasa, and a brother says that I have 3 children of my own, and I also have other children of this locality, if you can please come on a daily basis for 2 hours, 1 hour and teach them. Now, this has become a madrasa now, and all the children are doing hijrah from their homes, and the 3 children who live in their own house, they are also making hijrah, because mentally and psychologically, they are not in their homes now, they are in a maktab. That is hijrah. That is okay. But going to this house, going to that house, going to that house, it does not befit whatever. And it is not beneficial for the children also. The children will not progress. Such children cannot be nurtured. And I personally have experienced dozens of homes, because I come in touch with so many people. When you go to the houses of such people who are inviting ulama to come to their homes and teach their children, because the father doesn't go to the masjid, so the children don't go to the masjid. No madrasa, no masjid, not coming in contact with Muslims, with the Muslim community, and staying within the confines of their home, half an hour, 1 hour, repeat the lesson, learn the lesson, and other 23 hours are spent in an environment which does not befit a Muslim. So when they reach the age of 15, 16, 17, 18, no interest. Recently a Maulana, who is a close associate of mine, he lives in another town, not in Leicester, he came to me and he said that I have a difficult young teenager and I need some guidance. So I said, what is it? So he said that, I'm not really interested in all this. I'm only coming to you to learn from you because my father is sending me. And as soon as I grow up, I will have nothing to do with all this. So I said, he is coming to you, I don't understand. Is he not part of the... He said, no, he is a special child. Somebody has been teaching him at home until the age of 13. Special one-to-one being given to this child, but because the environment, it is the mahol that is required. No environment. Just teaching words. So at the age of 13, his father decided that I don't see any progress in my child as far as akhlaq, amal is concerned. So he came to the local imam and he said to the local imam that, can you look after my child? So the local imam said, I will, but you have to send him to my home. I will come to your house. So he said, okay, no problem. Because he is concerned now, he is 13. So the father is concerned. Maybe not so concerned about his deen, but concerned about losing control on the child. That is our concern. I'll lose control over my child. So now at the age of 13, despite learning from a very tender age at home from one teacher, one-to-one basis, he is saying, I'm not interested in all this. It's just that my father is forcing me to come. After once I'm 16, I will leave this. It's a possibility. May Allah save him. He may lose Islam altogether. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi is encouraging us that without hijrah from your home, hijrah means leaving the comforts. Yahya ibn Abi Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala narrates from him, la yastata'u al-ilm bi rahati al-jism. Ilm cannot be acquired through the comfort of your body. No, one has to strive, one has to work hard. العلم عز لا ذل فيه. Ilm is nothing but honor. Ilm is nothing but honor. There is no disgrace. No disgrace as far as ilm is concerned. Allah says, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْإِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. Like Mawlana Salim Sahib Hamidahullah Ta'ala said, that why should we become the victims of inferiority complex? Maybe Zaid, Amr and Bakr are looking down upon me, but Allah is not looking down upon me. Allah is not looking down upon me. Allah has granted me that this should be the mindset of a student of Deen. Allah is looking at me and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will look at me on the day of Qiyamah with honor, with respect. Nothing but honor. In ilm there is no disgrace. There is nothing but honor in ilm. But whilst acquiring ilm, there is no honor. يَحْسُلُ بِذُلِّمْ لَا عِزَّ فِيهِ. When acquiring ilm, a person has to become humble and he has to sacrifice everything. And he cannot remain honored that I want the teacher to honor me, I want the principal to honor me, I want the whole class to honor me. No, he has to become humble. Through humbleness, a person will acquire ilm. And this is everywhere, university, college, everywhere. A person cannot remain honorable in the sense that I want everybody to honor me whilst I am in the class. And I need to be given a distinguished position in the class. No, he has to become equal. Whether you are royal, whether you are a prince, whether you are a pope, or once in the classroom, you are equal with the other students. Anywhere you go, worldly education, secular education, dini education, ukhravi education, any hijrah. You have to leave comforts, you have to leave your home, you have to leave ma'asi and you have to leave layani at the beginning. And last hadith is narrated by Imam Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. Again the same message, the hijrah does not end here. Hijrah will continue. If you want to progress in your ilm, if you want to be included amongst the luminaries of the ummah, amongst the muhaddithin of the ummah, then hijrah, you have to sacrifice your comfort, you have to sacrifice your home, you have to strive, you have to make hijrah from sins, you have to make hijrah from layan. And Maulana is traveling on a daily basis to come here and teach. Effort, you have to do hijrah. You have to do hijrah. You have to do hijrah. Hijrah of money. If I leave teaching here at Madani Masjid, if I am being given £7 per hour here, I can do something where I will be able to earn £15. But no, I will make hijrah of £15 and work here for £7. Hijrah. So you have become scholars, you have graduated as ulama or alima. But Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, whatever he acquired was through hijrah.
So if you want to be included among the team of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, the group of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, then hijrah does not end where Bukhari ends. Hijrah continues until we breathe our last. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Kalimatani habibatani ila Rahman. There are two sentences which are beloved to Rahman ta'ala. Two sentences. Kalimatun here is kalimatun. Kalimatun means word. But in the Arabic language, sometimes a person says word but he means sentence. So here also, the kalimatun is has the meaning of sentence. Kalimatane, there are two sentences. Habibatane ila Rahman, which are beloved to Rahman ta'ala. Two sentences which are beloved to Rahman ta'ala. They are beloved to Rahman ta'ala. The person who will attach himself to these two sentences by reciting them as much as possible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him beloved also. Allah will make him beloved also. If I have a notebook, the value of which is 50 pence only, it is not beloved to me. But if I write something in there which is valuable, then that book will also become valuable. These papers are not beloved to me. But whilst Shaykh is lecturing, and if I come across some quotations which are very valuable to me, which are very beloved to me, and if I quickly jot down something on this paper, now this paper has become valuable to me. So maybe you and I are not beloved to Allah, but these two sentences are beloved to Allah. And once these Subhanallah wa bihamdihi Subhanallah al-Azim enters our hearts through the effort of the tongue, then this body will also become beloved to Allah. Kalimatane, two sentences, Habibatane ila Rahman, they are beloved to Rahman ta'ala. They are beloved to Rahman. They are beloved to Rahman ta'ala. And if they are beloved to Rahman ta'ala, then the one who enlightens his heart and who keeps his tongue moist with the recitation of these two sentences, he will also become beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us make a firm resolution that inshallah on a daily basis we will recite سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم 800 times minimum. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. Time does not permit me to go into detail. These two sentences are very, very precious because they contain within them the stages of divinity. Maqamati uluhiyyah. Stages of divinity. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanallah al-azim. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. These are the four stages of divinity. There are four stages of divinity, and we declare each stage of divinity with four sentences. When we say Subhanallah, we make an announcement, we declare that I have accepted the first stage of divinity. When we say Alhamdulillah, we declare that I have accepted the second stage of divinity. When we say Allahu Akbar, we declare that I have accepted the third stage of divinity. Subhanallah, Allah is pure. Alhamdulillah, Allah is embodiment of all excellences. Allahu Akbar, there is nothing like Him. There is nothing greater than Him. So He is pure from every defect. He is pure from every fault. He is
pure from every mistake, every weakness, pure. And number two, he is embodiment of all excellencies. But there can be two people. He is pure from all faults and embodiment of all excellencies. So Allah is pure from all faults, embodiment of all excellencies. There is nobody pure from all faults. There is nobody who is embodiment of all excellence. But let us assume that there is somebody. There is somebody. Remove all probabilities and possibilities. So, he is pure from all faults, 100%. Embodiment of all excellencies. And embodiment of all excellencies and the grandeur and the status of his excellencies reach that stage where nobody can surpass him. Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. Once we have accepted that Allah is pure from all faults, and Allah is the embodiment of excellencies, and nobody can surpass him in excellencies, the heart will automatically will say, La ilaha illallah. There is no one worthy of worship except Allah. Four stages. Subhanallah is the first, Alhamdulillah second, Allahu Akbar third, and La ilaha illallah fourth. It is for this reason Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala and Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah ta'ala reports on the authority of Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La an aqula subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wa allahu akbar. For me to say subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wa allahu akbar once, خَيْرٌ مِمَّا تَلَعَدْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسُ. It is better than this whole world and whatever it contains. Why? Because they contain the stages of divinity. And another hadith narrated by Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Nasai rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Ibn Majah rahimahullah ta'ala, on the authority of Samurai Ibn Jundub radiyallahu anhu, wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَحَبُّ الْكَلَامِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَرْبَعُونَ. There are four sentences which are the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which are they? Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wa allahu akbar. Why? Because they contain the stages of divinity. This also contains the stages of divinity. Subhanallah is the first stage. Wa bihamdihi, ay wa usni alayhi bihamdihi. It is equivalent of alhamdulillah. Second stage. And subhanallah al-azim, azim, great. So this is the equivalent of Allahu Akbar. So once three stages have been established, then automatically the fourth stage is, if Allah is pure, if Allah is pure from every fault, if Allah is the embodiment of all excellencies, and if Allah is the grace, automatically what will your heart and what will your tongue say? La ilaha illallah. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala has concluded his sahih on La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. And because these two sentences contain the stages of divinity and they are the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is nothing equivalent to the stages of divinity or the words that convey the stages of divinity in the whole world put together cannot match those words which convey the stages of divinity. It is for this reason Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, two sentences are very beloved to Allah Rahman ta'ala. They are very, very easy on the tongue, but very heavy in the lisan. Very heavy in the lisan. So let us make a firm resolution that daily inshallah we will recite at least 100 times subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanallah al-azim, and at least 100 times subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wa allahu akbar. Inshallah, as a result of this, these words which convey the stages of divinity will be embedded in our hearts, and when we will reach the end of our book, when we will breathe our last, inshallah our book will also end with La ilaha illallah on the tongue.
And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah. And as a result, inshallah, we will all enter Jannah al-Firdaws. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the efforts of our honorable Sheikh Maulana Salim Sahib Hamidullah ta'ala, and also the efforts of the Taliban and the parents and the administration and all associated to this work. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the presence of all brothers and sisters. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the barakat of all these efforts, forgive my sins, forgive your sins. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us steadfast on Iman and grant us the tawfiq to do whatever we need to do to acquire the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite us in Jannat al-Firdaws with the Anbiya and Siddiqin, the Shuhada and the Salihin. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi.